Tuesday, October 24, 2023. I'm going to call the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority to order at 9:15 a.m. So welcome. Thanks for being here, everyone. Just to start out, I wanted to call out a few people and talk about a few things going on. So you notice I'm not in my traditional coat and tie. Number one, I haven't worn a tie ever for Commission meeting, and I understand that there's pictures to be made here, and that's why Commissioner Rob has his on. But this is just the shirt I wear when I'm at the Rubber Chicken luncheon or dinner circuit when I'm promoting the port and talking about what all the great things we're doing. But I do it to show respect and pride for the workers and the people in the field that actually make all this happen and allow us to sit in this room and kind of take credit for what they do. When I think about the port, it's about jobs, about creating opportunity for neighborhoods, creating opportunity for everyone that's involved in the port. And given that this is the first meeting of Alan Robb right here, who just was appointed, and the first time in history of the port, over 100 plus years, that we've had three of the most prominent labor leaders in our region sitting at the table with us. And I think that's something to cheer about and to savor, because it doesn't happen that often, because labor, you know, and business can sometimes get at odds, but clearly we have an amazing relationship with labor, and we appreciate all the leadership that the three of you bring to the table. And I just think that it's an amazing thing to be able to kind of cheer that, right? So with that, I really appreciate you bringing the experience that you do with the board. And Alan, you're going to be a great addition. We appreciate that. I do remember you did push pretty hard on things, and I appreciate that, especially during COVID when we were trying to make sure we had all the the PPE and the vaccines and everything that we wanted to roll out so we could keep operating. And so thanks for all your work on that. When I was at the the East End Port Appreciation Day here last week, and I usually call out all of our team members, our Coast Guard partners, and welcome to the Coast Guard folks that are here today, the Corps of Engineers, ILA, obviously the Seafarers Union, and I did not call out the Seafarer or the Stevedores, and so a Stevedore came up to me and said, "Well, you forget." So if I forget calling you out, I'm sorry. But it is a team, and I do appreciate everything that everybody does. I did call out the Houston Pilots as well. I know we have pilots here. They always do, which is great. And I want to really thank the pilots for scheduling the completion the completion of the deepening and widening project. It's quickly approaching, and once it's complete, it'll be possible for vessels with a length of greater than 1,120 feet to safely navigate the Houston Ship Channel below Morgan's Point while maintaining two-way traffic. And technically, to satisfy this requirement of the Transportation Code Section 66, I don't know why I have to say this, but I'm going to, 66.0172 subparagraph C, which the Houston Pilots have requested that the Pilots Commission hold the required two public meetings to consider increasing the maximum length overall for vessels transiting below Morgan's Point contingent upon the completion of the dredging. The first of these two hearings held before the pilot commission was held on October 12th. The second meeting will be held on October 14th. The pilots are proactively considering the proposed changes to the navigation safety guidelines that would allow vessels with lengths up to 1,215 feet, which carefully include all the recorded Neo-Panamax container vessels in existence today. So forward thinking, don't wait till we open the channel, but get it done in advance. Is really great thinking on the pilot's part. Any changes to our navigation safety guidelines to allow these larger vessels would be contingent on ensuring two-way traffic, obviously, and being maintained subject to the traffic management protocols, combined beams, LOA, draft, etc. So we really appreciate the pilots taking this initiative to ensure safe two-way traffic for the benefit of all vessels that are calling on the Houston Ship Channel. as the increments of the widening of the Galveston Bay Reach are completed and further reducing, and we appreciate them further reducing or eliminating daylight restrictions when possible. It's just an amazing opportunity. I want to especially recognize Captain Clint Winegar and all the pilots in the association are addressing these matters proactively, and the pilot commission for holding hearings and hearings in advance of the completion. I mean, that is getting ahead of this is really, really good. If you all recall in 2019, when this actual transportation code got put in, there was a lot of tension and stress. And the way to solve the issue ultimately was keeping widening the channel as fast as possible. And so this Project 11, we've talked about this for a long time, is the largest federal project, the cleanest federal project, the fastest federal project, and the most contributed by a private, the public sector other than the federal government in America ever. So all those things led to the ability for the pilots to do what they're doing and ultimately for us to have the Bay Ridge completed by the end of 2024. Another big thing last week, awesome. We got great news on updated grants relating to the support of energy and sustainability work in the region. It was announced that the Gulf Coast Hydrogen Hub named High Velocity was chosen by the U.S. Department of Energy Office of Clean Energy Demonstrations to be awarded, to begin award negotiations and development of the estimated $1.2 billion that will come from that. And there's also a local match in that the companies that are in this they have to put up as well. So it's roughly a $2.4 billion investment. And I've read anywhere 40,000 jobs to build it and 10,000 jobs to that would be permanent jobs once this thing is up open. Port Houston is a key organizing partner of High Velocity and has been supporting this for more than 2 years, providing advice and working group. Efforts particularly focused on community benefits plan and the element of the proposal. This funding supports a win-win and watershed moment that will generate all these jobs, like I said before. And you'll hear a little bit more about it from Rich Burns coming up here in a minute. So again, appreciate everybody being here today. And commissioners, I know there's some other commissioners you know.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, in the Merchant Marine, our motto is in peace and war. And what that means is in times of peace, we do our part to move cargo and keep the economy strong in this country. In times of war, we provide logistical support to make sure we win. And we had a little situation. And actually, that's pretty much the same mission we have here at the port, because we work real hard at economic activity, but I mean, we are one of the nation's lines of defense in case there is some type of armed conflict. We're going to provide the fuel and the cargo and the labor to make sure that we win. This weekend, and I can't give any details, but an American flag tanker with a U.S. crew, mainly from Houston, there were Texans. They went into Israel with a load of fuel. It was hot. Red hot. And I was so proud of that crew. And I sent them a note thanking them for their service, and I want to read the response I got from the crew. And I get a little emotional. Thank you very much, brother. I will represent the Merchant Marine and the SIU banner to the fullest. We serve in peace and war. I pray for my men every day in this uncertain time, but our cargo will reach the beach, and may it help to keep the families in this conflict safe from their aggressors. God bless that crew.
Amen.
Any other commissioner comments?
Sorry, I get a little emotional.
No, who doesn't? I appreciate that. Okay.
Kitty asked me how I got the goat, and I said, you don't want to know.
That's how things get done. There you go. Great. Okay. Let's move on to item C1, which is approval of the minutes for number 26 meetings. Or motion?
Motion. Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Roger, you're up.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Just start off a little bit on the high level operational highlights. I just want to say that demand is still strong at Port Houston. Although our overall tonnage across our facilities is down 7% versus 2022, which 22, I remind everyone, every time 2022 is a record year. I just want to make the note that the total tonnage is 17% higher than 2021, which was a record year in itself. So, you know, for the year, our container TEUs are 4% lower than last year through September, and we anticipated that. However, just to highlight, the loaded units coming through our port are relatively flat year to date. And on this loaded container side, the imports are down 8%, but the exports are up year to date 9% through September. So loaded boxes are still coming through our port, and we expect it to continue that way. It's kind of the decline of the empty containers being exported to Asia that is driving the total down a little bit. But Jeff Davis is going to give you a few more details of the current activities in his report, and I'll leave that to him. The next thing I want to quickly highlight is next week we have our second annual Houston International Maritime Conference. We started this a year ago. We were going to start it before the pandemic. And I can just say it was a big event last year. There's overwhelming participation this year. We're sold out. We had to cut it off. We had to give them a number last week, and we have more than 500 attendees this year, double the size of what was going on last year. And it's about a conference that's Port Houston centric with customers, users. I don't leave anybody out, Rick. I just say partners. That includes everybody from around the nation and around the world. We have guest speakers. We've got the administrator, the head administrator from the Panama Canal. We got FMC commissioners. We got steamship lines and all of the above. And this year we're going to have our first annual Lone Star Award that is given to either an individual or a group in recognition of their partnership and their commitment. And this year, being a Labor Day, we're recognizing the ILA for their commitment, not only every day, but through the pandemic, post-pandemic, and just that partnership that we relish. So they're going to get the first award that we've given in the second year of this. So we're proud of that, and we're proud of that partnership. The next thing I want to highlight is a month or so ago, the Transportation Commission awarded $2 million in grant. This was a historic first of its kind in Texas grant money to ports for maritime and infrastructure development. The legislature authorized this in the last session, and we're proud to say that Port Houston received almost $36 million in this program. There's $200 million. You can't get more than 20%. Any single port can't get more than 20%, and we were very close to that. For specific projects, our project that this is going to go toward is the upgrades to our wharves. You can see just like the little maps, the red outlined area, the upgrades to wharves 4 and 5. At Barber's Cut, it's about 13, each of those are about 1,300 linear feet with crane rails and buildings and all of that. So it's great. Our team was able to come forward and get that together. The total project, and you see some of the other things in the green lines, was the rehabilitation of Barber's Cut. We got some money through the InfraGrant. In total, the project's $77 million in grant total between $36 million from the state and $21 million from the Infra grant. $57 million of that $77 million project. So that's a huge win for Port Houston, a huge win, and I appreciate what our team did to get all that together. A little bit on the channel progress. Project 11 continues to move forward. In fact, yesterday, I think we just released the port-led bid package for segment 1C, which is the upper end of the channel from Bayport to Morgan's Point. 100% of that dredge material will be used in that section will be beneficially used to create marsh. I previously reported that we welcome the opportunity for fully continued dialogue with our community about the dredge work that we're doing, and it's my understanding that a meeting's now scheduled for December the 7th for the scientists representing Port Houston, the Army Corps and Engineer, the EPA, and the advocacy groups that we've been talking with to discuss the facts of dredging and material. So we look forward to that conversation. And a special item of note, we have with us today Gordon Penland and Chantel Lund in uniform today. Please stand up. These two of our firefighters, as you heard last month, they both qualified to represent not only Port Houston, but Team USA at the World Firefighter Challenges Championship in Florida earlier this month. Both competed in six events and did outstanding. As a matter of fact, Chantel was part of a five-person female team that took first place and set a new national record in the process, falling just a few seconds shy, I understand, of a world record. That's quite honorable. They were proud of their achievements, of course, and also their commitment to the protection of our assets, not only at Port Houston, but in the Houston Ship Channel, and their commitment each and every day, and their commitment to wellness and representing Port Houston in such an incredible manner deserves that round of applause. So thank you. Thank you very much, and congratulations for carrying the flag for Port Houston. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I have, Chairman.
Commissioners, any questions or comments? Good. Awesome. Good work. Okay, let's move on.
Only one thing.
Okay, go ahead.
I've been on this board for 11 years, and he comes in here one day and the ILA gets an award. All I can say is I taught him well.
Absolutely.
I taught him too well.
Password.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not what it's what are you going to do for me next? That's right. That's right. Great. Well, let's move to E1 on appearances. We have Rear Admiral Argen here for he is the Assistant Commandant for Prevention Policy for the U.S. Coast Guard. Admiral, welcome,
Mr. Commissioner, Board Commissioner, Mr. Chairman, Board Commissioners, and members of the Port Authority. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you today to recognize the Houston Port Authority as the 2023 Rear Admiral Richard E. Bennett Award for Excellence in Maritime Security. The award is really a recognition of the work that you as a group have done to ensure the safety and security of maritime transportation here within Houston. And as was mentioned earlier, geopolitical situations, if anybody's paying attention, you know, there are lots of adversaries that are trying to do harm to the United States, and security at any given day is something that we always need to be vigilant and focused on. And the work that you've done over the last couple of years, mostly through partnerships and ensuring that we all take advantage of individual unique authorities to close doors for adversaries to take advantage of opportunities, has been impressive. And I really do appreciate the opportunity to come before you and the work that you have done to set the standard, to set a model for other ports authorities, to share best practices so that we all are safe and secure. It's no secret to everyone in this room that the importance of maritime in any nation, the access to global trade is a key contributor to any individual country's ability to prosper. It's 100% focused on our ability to ensure that our forces can be delivered to protect our friends and allies internationally. Then also, it's vitally important to our national prosperity. It contributes $5.4 trillion of economic prosperity that allows us to do the things that this nation needs to be able to do. And your individual work, both on the individual level, whether it's doing verifications of TWIC cards, looking at cybersecurity from a different perspective, really has made this port in particular safer And I think the work that you're doing ultimately will help the nation become safer. So I'd like to present you with the award, have an opportunity for a picture maybe. And thank you again on behalf of the Commandant of the Coast Guard for your work, and look forward to continue working with you and the partnerships that you've created within the Port of Houston.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, come on up here and get a picture. Got some wood ring here going to come too.
We brought the team.
A whole team.
Chairman is mostly responsible, and that's Jessica, our security director, and our three FSOs.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. I got Jessica right in front where we need her. All right.
Hold on, Scott.
Well, why don't you just leave it for now?
Okay, 3, 2, 1. This is the
Okay. Okay, next up on appearances, we have Captain Jason Smith with the Houston Maritime Center, and we also have Sarah Howell and Leslie Boland. Do you all want to come up together and be a team? Awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
Why don't we adjust?
Yeah, however you want to do.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Well, it's great to see you in a new uniform.
Yeah, new costume. It's not Halloween.
Costume, there you go.
Got a wig on, and I got some a new uniform.
Which does grow out, huh?
Yeah, it does grow out. Or at least sometimes.
I wish that worked for me.
Chairman Campo and Commissioners, great to see you again. Mr. Gunther, thank you very much for having me. I'm here as a board member for the Houston Maritime Center and Museum, and I'm also here, as Mr. Campo said, with our board chair, Sarah Howell, and our executive director, Leslie Boland. We're here to give an update on the museum as we make some monumental changes. We hope at least we'll have a home win here in Houston for the museum. Unfortunately, for all the Astros fans out there, we didn't have that last night. So my apologies. But no, really, we have some monumental changes as we try to achieve our mission to navigate Houston's origin and maritime connection to the world through exhibit, education, and experience. Through our pillars of collection, cultivation, and community. The most exciting change that we want to bring to your attention is our move to East River, which will be completed in the summer of 2024. Even more exciting is that this build-out will happen in conjunction with the Port of Houston's new office, and we will be neighbors in East River. We hope that this will promote even more partnerships between our two organizations. What you see in front of you is a quick update on some of the details of my presentation. I've already mentioned our mission and our pillars at the top of the presentation. And the middle graphic is a plan layout of our new museum over at East River. As you walk through the space, and from depicted on the graphic, on the black arrow on the far right of the graphic itself, you'll see our flagship 24-foot by 6-foot LED display of the port and other rotating visuals that we're calling the bridge deck. That's depicted as a light blue block in the middle of the graphic. Other rotating visuals will be displayed on this LED display. From there, you'll navigate around our center lighthouse to explore various stages of the region's maritime story with exhibits such as Taking to the Sea, which focuses on the beginning of maritime on the top left, transitioning to Setting Sail, which highlights the mid-16th to 19th century, and then Wars on the Water, just below it, with displays on the region's impact to to both wars in the Pacific and the Atlantic theaters and right here in our own country. To modern maritime on the bottom middle, focusing on the diversity and the importance of our port today. And the all hands on deck and STEM displays on the bottom right for visitors to physically engage with the maritime exhibit. We also have dedicated space for temporary exhibits to keep the topics fresh and relevant to this and very relevant to this dynamic maritime community. Optional displays in the top graphic include Oceans Away, a three-dimensional immersive space, and Training Deck, a display simulator, are in the works as well. So we plan to present more Houston Maritime Center and Museum news at future commissioner meetings, including updates about our new museum, education, engagement, and community outreach, and how the port and regional maritime community can support. We also want to remind everybody on the bottom part of that slide of our annual set sail dinner in just 2 weeks, November 10th, Friday, November 10th, over at River Oaks Country Club, where we will be honoring former captain of the port and former director of the Greater Houston Port Bureau, Bill Deal, and also presenting more information, including 3D rendering of the new museum space, and we hope to see you all there.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Thank you. So how many square feet is the museum going to be?
6,000.
6,000? Yes, that's great. Perfect.
Thank you.
Literally
adjacent to the Newport office.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, next up, we have Arande Trevino, a public citizen. Is she here or online?
Here, I think she's calling in.
Calling in? Okay. Let's see.
Rondi. Oh, she is on the.
Okay, can you hear us there? You need to. Are we going to connect with her?
She's yep. Monitoring the meeting.
She's on mute. Yeah, that's about.
Rondi, you're on mute. You need to call in. She may need to call in.
Okay, if we can't connect her, if you can get her, we'll put her in a second after we go forward. And if you connect her, we'll just go back to her. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So the next item then. So that is it with public comment, unless we can connect with Rondé. Next item is executive. Let's see, who's going to deal with that is Tom.
That'd be me. There's two items in executive. The first one is what Roger had brought up earlier today, what is the state port grant program that we got $35,981,000 from. This is for an advanced funding agreement with the state, acting by and through TxDOT. That's the flow of the paperwork to receive the funds. Again, as he said, it's for we're going to use those funds for Barber's Cut Wharf 4 and 5, which happens to be on today's agenda as item K2. The second item is to approve the Port Commission committee and task force chairs and members. As we had the change from Commissioner Meese to Commissioner Robb, we need to update those committees. So I ask for approval of F1 and F2.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. So any questions or comments? Maybe you want to talk about anybody having issues with the committee assignments? You know, I think we've talked to everybody about it. Everybody good with it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. Robb, you good
Chair,
with it?
Yeah. May I ask a question while we're on this subject? Is it possible, and we don't have to make a decision today, but have people maybe think about it, that we have all of our committee meetings the same day as a court meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got such difficult schedules, and I'm just wondering if that makes sense.
I agree.
Having them the same day as the
court commission.
Try to do that?
Try to do it.
Oh, I would love to try to do that.
Well, I think
I'm a big believer in one day, get it all done.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah, absolutely.
We can make it happen.
Let's
so.
Do it.
No,
I think it's an administrative issue that I think that now is in the record and we'll work on it.
Okay.
The only complexity of it sometimes is when you have audit committees that have to meet before and things like that, so we're presenting. Pardon me? Some have to go ahead of the.
Or whatever. My question is, do we, that just make us be a little more proactive to do it the month before, or is the timing such that we can't?
Maybe what we do is a committee meeting before, so start the committee meeting at 8 o'clock or.
Yeah, we could do that.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Yeah, that works. Let's just start earlier, and we'll do the meeting before, and then you can roll right into the board commission meeting.
Right.
Yep, that's good.
Okay.
All right. A long time.
Okay, there we go. Okay, any other questions or comments?
Yeah, he did.
Whatever.
So cold.
All right, if not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we have nothing on business equity, channel infrastructure, Mr. Jenkins. Are you excited about advertising?
Yeah, that's great news. And really, point over to the wall. Lori and her team got the package six advertisement out on schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to admit it. I admitted it to the team. I was almost betting against them. There's work that had to be done, but they pulled it off, and it's a great thing. So very proud and pleased that that's out on the street. Bids will be due back in first week of December or so. And then the start of the job will depend on the negotiation, the cost of the job, and dredge availability. So basically, Project 11 is still going very well. Now, a couple of important notes first. We just finished the 23 fiscal year, which ended September 31st. The channel had the lowest number of daily draft restrictions since we've been keeping record of it, of how many there have been, which is generally most of my career. So we had a very productive use of the channel, really caused by, and thank you to Kareth and Cam, getting that federal funding to support the program so that the Corps could execute. Today, we actually have 5 dredges out in the channel supporting. We have 2 for construction, and by the way, they're 5 different companies. Working for us is Callan and Weeks. The Corps also has Matthew Brothers working up here at the Turning Basin. They're actually starting this week. Callan Dredging is working with a big dredge down by the Fred Hartman Bridge between Barber's Cut and Exxon. Manson is dredging with a hopper dredge, the Bayport Channel, and the Flares. And, 5 dredges on the channel at one time just shows to the commitment of the group and the industry and the federal government to keep this economic engine running. So that's great news. We only have 4 RCAs this month. Lightest I can recall. First one I'd like to cover is Weeks Marine. It does have a cost of $803,000, but I'd also like to point out that there is a reduction in another contract with a different dredge company for that work that's actually greater than the $803,000. So we actually have a bit of a savings with this change. So that's a good thing. Speaking of Weeks, we have received a claim for debris, excessive debris in the Bayport Channel. In the Bayport Channel, they were about a month behind. They're having numerous difficulties. No opinion or fact on the value of that claim, but as part of the process of construction, we'll work through those details in the coming weeks with our legal team and our channel team. Other than that, pretty much standard business. We'd also like to point out H3. It's a $405,000 renewal of pipeline licenses. Great source of revenue for the port. We have about 1,200 licenses in our portfolio. This is an example of them, 2 of them being renewed, just to highlight that. And with that, I request approval for RCA H1 through 4.
Motion.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate it. Okay. We have commercial. Christine. Commercial today. Okay. Good to see you.
This is the Chairman, Commissioners. I'm Christina Wiscato, Director of Marketing, Branding, and External Communications. And I also lead the Research and Forecast team, and I'm here today on behalf of the Commercial Division. We're presenting 7 items today, but first I have a couple of general updates on what we've been up to. You've heard in recent meetings about some of the travel that our Chief John Mosley and Roger have taken to Asia, to Europe, to meet with our customers, talk with them, and get a line on the future. And so those meetings have been taking place overseas. Back locally, last month, we participated in the Break Open America's conference here in Houston. That the premier conference for Brick Vault and Project Cargo, and we were the host port for that event. They had about 5,000 attendees this year, and part of our sponsorship is we hosted an event at the Rustic where there were about 1,000 attendees for us to be able to network and talk with, and members of our trade development team, our operations team, several chiefs were out there talking with customers at that event. And then next week, as Roger mentioned, is the Houston International Maritime Conference, which is sometimes called HIMSI. It's the second year for the event. It is sold out. Roger mentioned several of the people who will be there. We have representatives from major PCOs like Academy and Walmart who will be attending. We also have speakers like Commissioner Bensel from the Federal Maritime Commission, the head of the Panama Canal Authority. We also have the chief supply chain officer from HEB giving our keynote speech, representatives from MSC, Maersk, just a number of really valuable informational speaking engagements lined up for that event. And it promises to be a really great time for information, for data sharing, for networking over the course of the 3 days of the event. We actually have an RCA in front of you today for the location for the 2024 HIMSI event, and that's so that we can make an announcement at this year's event about next year's event and get people to hold it on their calendar. So overall, it's just been really busy, a lot of good opportunities to meet with customers, to position our brand, ultimately driving cargo. So moving on to the agenda items for your consideration today, three of them are marketing related, four of them are real estate. I want to highlight item I-1, which is to award a professional services contract to Love Advertising to act as our media buyer. They are the incumbent for these services. They've been providing excellent value to Port Houston. Some of what they do for us is media strategy, negotiating rates, and positioning with the various media outlets. And these outlets are everything from industry-related print publications like the JOC to local radio, billboard advertising that you might have seen and heard around town. They also verify that everything runs as it's supposed to, and they provide detailed recaps to us about all of that as well. They're one of the largest media buyers in Houston. They have a long list of clients, and so they are well positioned to negotiate really competitive rates on our behalf. I also want to call your attention to item I-5. This is for a 3.5% lease rate increase for our month-to-month leases. It's effective no earlier than January 1st of 2024. And that increase amount is based on the market CPI. And so with that, I want to ask for your approval on items I-1 through I-7.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments?
Well, real quick on I-1.
Okay.
The total dollars, the 420 and the 450 for the option year, that's not all to Love. That also includes the actual buying of the time. So just so everybody understands that.
Okay. All in favor to say aye?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. So finance. Mr. Duncan, good to see you.
Chairman, good morning, commissioners. Good morning, distinguished guests. Fortis, we have engaged them to audit several programs of our financials. They audit the pension plan, the OPEB plan, the P&B fund, and the financial statement audit. Here I have this plot. Over the last 48 years in a row, we've won this plot. We've done a good job. We're hoping to get 49 this year, later this year.
Open.
Over the last 13 years, Fortis has been a partner with us in this effort. Next year, we'll conclude that contract and we'll go out for bid. The items before you, J1, is we're seeking approval for a two-year extension for the fourth and fifth year of a five-year program, professional audit service program with Fortis, for $380,000 and $390,000 respectively. Item J2 represents the investment policies and internal control documents, which the audit committee in September approved and recommended and approved by the full commission. Are there any questions?
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is infrastructure. Rich Burns. Rich.
Good morning. Roger mentioned I'd say a couple of words just very briefly about the high velocity. Just to point out that it's a team effort. Seven awards were made across the country. They started out with 77 communities competing for this, and they were down selected to 33 who were encouraged to afford, and Houston was the only one on the Gulf Coast that they won. This is seven companies with different projects for creating blue and green hydrogen out of natural gas with carbon capture, and then providing that hydrogen as a feedstock for industry, as well as it will become a feedstock for hydrogen trucks and vessels. So it's relevant to us. We supported it. It directly relates to our mission of driving regional prosperity because of the jobs it creates. And I think it's a case of the port walking the talk of our sustainability and our 2050 roadmap. So it's a big accomplishment, team effort. We had a supporting role in the play. You also mentioned the $36 million grant. I just want to point out one aspect of that, which is it's a team effort. Our grants team diligently prepared the paperwork. Our government relations team liaised with the TAC in Austin. So it goes to everybody in this room to add that cash flow to our bottom line. And that's part of a infrastructure building campaign that's really $218 million in total to rebuild Barber's Cut in terms of wards 3-6 and yards 4-7. We are looking forward to additional grant opportunities. Right now we're focused on the EPA Clean Ports Grant opportunity, which is going to be an unprecedented $3 billion of money that's available for ports. And our point of view is if you want a clean port, Houston's the biggest port in the country. So we're going to have an ambitious campaign around that. And we are partnering with communities in this journey. Last week, we had a meeting with about a dozen NGOs and the Environmental Defense Fund to ask them what kinds of things they'd like to see in our grant application that affect communities and community benefits. And we're not only partnering with communities, we're partnering with companies. This month, we signed another Memorandum of Understanding Cooperation Agreement, this time with BP Americas, to focus on sustainability goals. And finally, the two contracts, one last month and one that's on your agenda today for Bayport Wharf 7 and Barber's Cut Wharf 4 and 5, represent $200 million worth of contracts, which really bring our CIP attainment plan to a conclusion for the year. There's no more big, giant jobs in Q4. So with that, I'll bring your attention to the agenda. If you'd like to highlight, there are seven items worth about $89.5 million in asks. I'll highlight items two and four, which are really about building infrastructure. Item two is a $76 million contract to McCarthy to rehabilitate wharves 4 and 5, which is drilled piers, fender systems, stevedore support building, and so forth. And item four is additional design work to advance our planning and implementation of building out the rest of Bayport in CY1, as well as looking forward to CY8 and 9. So with that, I'll ask for approval for items 1-4.
So moved.
Sure. Any questions or comments? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Okay, operations. Davis, good to see you.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioner. A special good morning to Commissioner Roth for joining the team. You know, as the largest employer of ILA labor in the Port of Houston, I've spent about three lifetimes working with him. So,
there you go.
But in addition to Roger's comments, I'd like to speak to a volume is about the activity. I'll start with the container terminals. We had some emergency dredging back in August, and we have been unable to catch up on that queue of ships that continues to be. It's kind of oscillating between 2 to 6 ships trying to get into Bayport, and it has impacted our volumes, obviously, when we have ships out waiting. But I'm told by Rich's group and Paulo's group that relief is very, very close to being here as the new berth at Bayport will open. When, Paulo?
On the spot.
I've been trying to get that date.
One more week. All right. November the 1st is what he keeps saying, but we're anxiously awaiting that berth. A lot of big investment there. It takes us years to get here, and the ship's needed. But anyway, hey, Roger touched on our volume and our TEUs year-to-date through September were down 3%, but loaded containers were up 1%, and loaded containers are where the rubber really meets the road. As you look inside those loaded containers, import containers at Barber's Cut and Bayport, Roger speaks at a little higher level. He speaks port-wide, but I'm speaking to our facilities that we operate. In September, volume saw import loaded TEUs down 10% and down 6% year-to-date. But export-loaded TEUs were up a whopping 24% in September, and year-to-date they're up almost 13%. So that speaks to the strength of the Houston Ship Channel and the exports that it generates for our business. As Roger mentioned, empty TEUs are kind of driving that downturn that we see in total TEUs handled. They were down 39% in September and 21% year-to-date. So we're just not sending, with those export imports being down, we're not sending empty to Asia to be returned as imports, so like we did last year. But we continue to have a solid year. As you monitor the media outlets and they talk about the East and the West Coast being down in excess of 20%, the fact that we're very close to flat, it's a strong tribute to our export market, but also those imports that have left those other areas and come to our port, they've stuck, and that's a tribute to the service that we're providing. Anyway, for non-container facilities, hey, we continue to have a steady year, not as strong as last year. Last year was a once in a decade year, but still steady at about 15% down, but it's a solid year here. And just a little bit on activity. In September, I think it was the 26th, we had a record gay day. It was 15,491 transactions. So next time you're driving down Highway 225 and you pull up next to that container, you can say that's one of 15,000 that we handled in one day. It's a tribute to our ILA operators. I have to recognize the ILA, especially now.
Hard not to recognize them.
You have to be careful how you treat people along the way in your career. Someday they may wind up on your board. But hey, the ILA does a great job, record day. You think about the equipment that we operate, our gate staff, our ops, and our yard planners. Think about yard planners having to plan a yard where 15,000 weeks are coming in and out. And that's just on the road. The ship's doing the same thing. So all these boxes are pouring in. Our ops group do a great job of that. Maintenance, keeping up the equipment, getting the berth ready. You can't say enough. Maintenance only gets recognized when something's broken down, and that's not fair. And also the trucking industry for supplying the truck power to be able to do this in a single day. And lastly, our ocean carriers for bringing the ships to our port to be able to do this business. But anyway, record gate day. Good to talk about all the people that contribute to that. And I want to touch on part of Tim's presentation next month with budget. We'll be discussing our annual rate increase. And we like to say it publicly before we actually provide it for a vote in November. So, each year our staff recommends rate adjustment to this body. We do it and recommend it. We'll discuss it here. It'll be put for a vote in November, and then it will become effective in January. And the container terminals have two tariffs to drive in, 14 and 15. And those rate increases are driven by the Marine Terminal Services Agreement, which this body has already approved. So there won't be a vote so much on that as it's already approved. And this year, we look at the month of July in the previous 12 months, and it was 3.2% is what CPI was, because that's what the Marine Terminal Services Agreement called for. So we've decided to recommend the tariff rate in these facilities follow that 3.2% as well. In addition to Marcus's harbor fee, I think you're also recommending a 3.2%. And again, Tim will wrap all of that up in the budget presentation next month. But I'd like to say it publicly in advance for our users to know what we're planning to recommend. And if there are no questions about that, I'd like to highlight a couple of agenda items. It's a very slow month for us, two items. Both of them related to cranes and wire ropes in L1 and L2 is some of the electronic components from the wharf and yard cranes. So with that, I'd like to ask for your approval of items L1 and L2.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Question. Go ahead.
Jeff, did you say the new dock opens next week? We're holding him to that, right? Are the cranes ready?
The first crane, 216, will be, we're starting to test tomorrow.
Okay. So.
Are the operators ready?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's pending completion of the acceptance and the endurance test on the crane, right? The dock's finished?
Yeah, the dock is officially finished. You have to move some fencing and finish a bunch of this item, but it's basically done. But 216, since it's ready, go, we're going to start doing a test on Wharf 5 tomorrow. We'll bring it over to Wharf 5 and start it with that.
You do know how many gangs we've been putting out the last few weeks.
Yes, sir.
Pardon?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You've done a very good job of supplying all the labor.
All right.
There you go. Yes, sir. Okay, so all in favor say aye. Your vote. Your next motion passes. All right. Rachel, just
hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
A few updates that I'd like to get into before we get into the agenda on the people items. We continue to see a competitive hiring environment this year. So we've recently had a couple efforts that I wanted to spotlight on our team with some career fairs and hiring fairs that we've partnered with. So last Friday, we held a Fort Houston Community Hiring Fair in partnership with Fair Jobs, Precinct 2, and Eastern Chamber, which turned out to be a huge success. There were 32 industry partners, 156 job seekers, 13 Fort Houston volunteers, and 22 on-site interviews were conducted and six job offers accepted. So I wanted to thank our community partners, including the ILA that played a big role in that, our Fort Houston maintenance team, Fort Houston volunteers, and particularly Jackie Young Hall for leading this effort. In addition, we held an internal Fort Houston career fair as well. About a month ago, and we also had an excellent turnout for that event and have extended four job offers as a result of that effort as well. So continuing to make progress on that. Today we see about 6.5% open headcount or about 55 job positions that are open that we are working specifically to try to fill. And then looking ahead, we have a busy Saturday coming up November 4th. We have our annual fourth Park Support Bike Ride in partnership with the Sherman Park Conservancy at 8 a.m., followed by our annual Fort Houston Employee and Retiree Association event at the Houston Zoo from 10 to 1. So I hope you all can make it and join us. We currently have over 950 employees, retirees, and families that are attending sometimes this event. So hope to see you guys all out there. And then finally, our second annual Posada is coming up December 9th. That's our free community resource fair with the ports, where we bring in all of our port partners to provide services to the local community. So that's being held December 9th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Bagot Community Center in Galena Park. So again, please hope you guys can join us for that. So it's going to be a great event. We are actively trying to grow that, and it's quite a big expense. So today I just have one item on the agenda, which is the approval of our stop loss insurance for the Fort Houston self-funded group medical benefits program. This coverage provides protection for us with excessive claims for individuals when they have things like cancer, organ transplant, those sorts of things to help protect us. Our coverage provides the force protection for individual claimants that have a total claim that exceeds $200,000 for each claim year. In September, we met with the Pension and Benefits Committee to review our plan performance and projections going into the next year. We are pleased to see, we had projected a 20% increase in this area, We were able to bring that down to 15.7% of an increase. We have been seeing that with a lot of our insurance lines filling up tremendously this year, so that is kind of the norm. But we are happy that we were able to get it down to a 3.8% budget increase going into next year. As mentioned, with the last month, the Pension and Benefits Committee voted to keep rates for employees flat going into next year so that Port Houston will absorb those cost increases for next year, which I know our employees will greatly appreciate. So I'd like to request approval for item 1 and answer the question.
The motion?
So moved.
Second. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to say to your group, y'all really do a great job making sure that our employees get the best benefits they can for the money. Thank y'all for the work you do.
Thank you. Appreciate your support.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Captain Woodring, you're up.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, commissioners. First off, thank you for recognizing our firefighters and our security teams earlier. I would like to highlight safety before I move to our agenda items today. This past summer, we hired Amy Seymour as our safety director to be here today, but she's actually at the National Safety Council convention over in New Orleans. Safety is a priority amongst our core values, and it extends to all people. I'll leave it at that. I had a list, but I learned my lesson. I'll just, you know, apply to all people within our fence line. We're committed to developing this holistic approach to make sure that everybody within our fence line is safe. We recently updated the safety standard, which has really two pieces to it. It's a framework, but first it has to have leadership buy-in and commitment. And we took it to the executive safety leadership team, which includes Roger and Tom, all the chiefs, debated it, Roger signed it, and we put it out to the employees. On the employee side, I want to make sure that you're all aware that all employees have the authority to stop work. If they see something unsafe out there, they can say stop. And I hope if I'm walking in front of a bus or something like that, they yell stop, and they save me. So they're also strongly encouraged to report any unsafe acts or conditions or incidents so that we can then address those. And finally, any standard is based on continuous improvement. How do we do that? How do we keep working forward? And we have dedicated safety managers at each terminal that are out there, and they work with our safety director, Amy, and the operations team every day to monitor and improve our work culture. So just kind of, you know, to sum it up, we have an unwavering commitment to safety, and we're really pushing that forward. And again, the continuous improvement is ongoing here at the Port Authority. I have two items today that I'd like to highlight out of the three. The first one is the purchase of some fire pumps, two fire pumps. We often, I won't say often, we occasionally lose water pressure at the terminals, either from a construction project, a water main break, or a big freeze. We've lost pressure a couple times, and in order to operate under the marine terminal standards, we must have firefighting water. We rent those pumps, and it is much more cost effective based on the analysis of the last couple of years to simply purchase two, have them here in a timely fashion, and it's actually more cost effective. And the second one I'd like to highlight is the annual Ship Channel Security District payment. We contribute along with all the other entities up and down the Ship Channel, about another 170 companies, to provide funding for the Ship Channel Security District, which is an umbrella, provides camera coverage, and matches for grants for Harris County Sheriff's Office, Houston Police, that then provides security patrols for us and things of that nature. So. With that said, I'll take any questions and request your approval of N1, 2, and 3.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions, commissioners? Okay, hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Technology, Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, commissioners, what a great team I'm a part of. I lead the technology division in Section O. We have three items on the agenda today. The first item on the agenda is for, I lost my train of thought.
Data
storage.
Take your time. Find stuff.
Data storage. Clearly, we have to store things. This time,
I know he's got to help with the IT stuff.
Yeah.
Item number two is for the Bay Port Maintenance Building new construction. We're going to build by the infrastructure in advance and make sure we have that technology in advance. Item number three is for Microsoft licensing. Microsoft and other large companies like to do a true-up when you grow. The number of users grows, they charge you more money, and this is for that true-up. pending approval of the third item from business equity, the entire agenda for technology is business equity eligible for spend. With that, I ask for approval for the three items.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, we are going to...
Want to take a quick break, or do you want to just go...
Yeah, we can take a quick break.
It's up to you.
Anybody need a break? Yes?
No.
Let's just roll.
All right, well, we're going to have to invite our guests to please run the room.
That's all you got.
Board Commissioner, the 40th Authority, Brazos County, Texas, will now convene in a closed meeting presented by Texas Health and Human Rights Government Coach. Conduct a private consultation with attorneys regarding real estate, including Commissioner Barber's federal Cindy property, conducted all the negotiations during the Senate, employment evaluation of public policy employees, security of less than 100. Board Commissioner, we convene in a public session after the meeting will adjourn.
Reconvene the Port of Houston Authority Board meeting at 10:55 on Tuesday, October 24th. We are now now reconvened. At this point, there's nothing left to do other than say goodbye and close the meeting unless commissioners have any comments or questions. Our next meeting is on November 13th. It's a budget workshop meeting. So we can now adjourn the Port Commission meeting.